Hi friends, welcome to this subject of international marketing. I am Professor Ashish Hathi, who is going to take you through this particular subject during our various sections. There are about 11 chapters that this particular subject has, and I'll be taking you through chapter by chapter. Now, first chapter being on the scope and challenges, yes, it is a very basics to the international marketing. But before I get in, I would like to just probably give you one or two tips, you know, which can be of use, which will create a better understanding between both of us. Now, I am actually here and I am doing this live streaming. Purpose is that the conceptual clarity I must bring for you. However, international marketing also, you know, where the figure speaks for itself, what is happening, how the trades are changing between the country, for the country, etc. Vis-a-vis, there are certain case lates, etc., that really emphasizes the particular point that we are trying to drive home. Now, these two things are not, you know, these two things I cannot really get in. So, I'll wherever possible, I'll give you a quick means reference to that, this being there in the book. Please take that additional trouble to just go through the statistics, thus go through the exhibits. There in the book, it is referred as an exhibits, where you try to really do the basic reading once at least so that your clarity comes in. So with this note of request, I begin my chapter 1. Chapter 1 is on the scope and challenges. So what would be our learning objectives? So in this chapter, as the name suggests, we will get into understanding the changing pattern of the global economy, but that will be a very limited this thing because it's a statistical aspects. We'll also understand the marketing mix, 4Ps and pest analysis, but essentially there'll be a basics that one can really touch upon. Understand importance of emerging marketing opportunities. Understand the factors which defines the scope of international marketing. Understand the key factors which differentiates the international marketing, how it is different from normal marketing, so to say, and learn EPRG model. But essentially what I will say that emphasis from my side will be more onto the 3, 4, 5, 6. So this is what I will be probably focusing upon. So starting with the basic introduction that I would like to give you, the development that is taking place all around us. We see that a lot of international goods are coming in our country, even India. We also hear that international goods are getting exported by Indians and we are breaking that barrier year on year. So why this overall internationalization of the economy is happening? Why this international trade is happening? So now essentially the changing economic scenarios internationally. You see that everything cannot be produced in one country. Some countries have a resource. Minerals are very rich in India or say for that matter other part of certain countries. While oil is into Gulf, world requires the oil for running their cars and machineries. And the economic scenario in the sense some countries are growing very fast. Some countries are acquiring economic or a manufacturing power. Some countries are becoming superior in service industries, etc. So these are the reasons why one need to exchange and get the benefit for itself and provide benefit to the others. Changing political scenarios, fast political uncertainties are growing. However, countries which offer really stability, where people would like to then invest. Take the example of India post-2014 when Bharatiya Janata Party government came in and there is a stable economic policy rollout. So the political stability is also there, economic factor rollouts are also there with the long term in mind. Government liberalization of the economics and monetary policies. The government is also liberalizing, liberalizing when I say classically, opening up, removing various barriers. So India was laggards in terms of doing business, ease of doing business. Today India has climbed that number. We are today 63rd position vis-a-vis the, before 2014 we were 132. So you see the single window clearance and also a lot of liberalization that we are bringing in. Monetary policies are getting facilitated, means different ways by which the money can come in, money can go out, and money can rotate within the economy. Improvement in technology, we all know that we are on 4G, we are on the crux of, we are on the beginning or we about to get into 5G, etc. broadband is already revolutionized, so IT revolution, alignment of the trade policies world over, WTO, World Trade Organization, is playing a crucial role in bringing countries together to have a uniform business policy, so that is facilitating increase in the sale and the revenue. Like when you think that you have a competency, when you think you have a power, every company as a flip side wants to explore more market. And today you see various reasons requires you to continue to explore international markets so that you are even protected in your domestic economy. In the book, there is a Bharti Airtel example given how that Indian company is today really an international conglomerate. You must refer that. There are other reasons, like, you know, economic levels are also bringing more revenue. Disposable income of the people are growing. However, beyond COVID, and I am not really referring to the COVID scenario, so don't ever bring that in. But by and large, economies are opening up. So many numerous other avenues have come in, you know, for the people to explore, to earn their living and livelihoods. Rising aspirations, so masses are also looking forward to live the life which they have been probably seeing it, which they feel that they should offer to their near and dear, etc. So those are the things. Better offerings, Doordarshan versus the Tata Play. Now, you know, you see that you are so glued to Netflix, OTT is changing the way we refer to our entertainment, etc. Amazon Prime, etc. are the one which is a living example, you know, that we should be aware of. Simple thing like a taxi service. We were so dependent on black and yellow, but we were so frustrated either when Uber and Ola kind of services have come in. We literally started using that as our main source of movement. So with that, friends, that is a preamble, as a background, we begin our journey to remove various layers and try to get in deeper. So first aspect is the marketing mix. Marketing mix essentially, you know, consists of, for the product, it is 4 P's: product, price, place and promotion. Product is all about what is your product mix, what is that you manufacture, the brand you have, the number of lines. Like if I take HUL, Hindustan Unilever, it is like they have a skin care, oral care, hair care, etc. So these are that product. Price is at what price point you are selling them. They have a products which is Rin, which is the lowest in terms of a detergent soap, Wheel, then detergents. They have Surf Matic and whatnot, you know. So you see, they are at different price point. Even the soaps, starting from Rexona or Hamam, which is, say, like probably very cheap, to Dove, which is like very costly. So that's a price. Place, that is the place of availability. I'm not getting much into it. And the promotion, that is what is that the brand communicating, the brand communication to acquire the desired position in the mind of the consumer. So that's a marketing mix. Highly complex. Now, in terms of international marketing, it will become highly complex because of this reason. Localization. Do you think you need a localization? If the Indian manufacturer is wanting to export this to, say, Malaysia or an European country, do you think that my product needs a localization? Means some changes required by the market there. Then comes the understanding of the local needs. Will my product satisfy the solution that is offered, or will my product be meeting the expected solutions of the local people? Then comes the product offerings. Is my product offering sufficient enough? Am I offering enough range so that I am able to cater to different segments of the market? Is my pricing very premium pricing, me too pricing, or a competitive pricing, etc.? So what kind of a pricing, you know, you are also bound by the competition. You may wish to charge something because your product is great, but competition is not allowing you to charge. So those aspects, production complex, you have to acquire your economies of scale. To grow means you need more volume. The economies of scale can come to you only if you produce at one place. But in many times it is required that you establish your manufacturing plants strategically across different parts of the world so that you can cover multiple markets surrounding that plant. So that's all about the production, economies of scale, etc. So that's a complexity that one has to face. Distribution. You may have a certain set of distribution channels available, which may not be the case in other markets. So how will you get into distribution? Distribution itself has a various challenges. Vertical distribution channel, horizontal, how many additional lines of distribution. Now today you see de facto online or a direct channel has become very crucial. Company like even Hindustan Unilever, who has so many distributors and retailers working for them, but they have also started an online portal through which one can order. Now, do you think that is, you know, fighting with their own distributors? No, we are actually not getting into that area, but distribution also a very complex challenge, and customized promotion. For each market, do you think that you require a localized, customized promotion? So that's a complexity part that I gave you a perspective about. So we move into understanding the definition of international marketing. As it defines, the international marketing is simply the application of marketing principles to more than one country. So what it gives you in a very simple term, you understand what is marketing management, which is nothing but the strategy which allows you to work on the marketing mix to satisfy the customer need by providing an exchangeable proposition, exchangeable product or a service. So it means you work on your product with the pricing, with the place of availability and a promotion, you create exchange worthiness. And that exchange worthiness means when customer finds some value in it, he will pay for it and get your service or the product. So that being the definition, it just says international marketing definition is not but simply a replication of that into the international market. So it involves the forms in making one or more marketing mix. Yes, the challenge is you may have to create slightly different marketing mix. So even if I take an example of say Mahindra Auto, or for that matter any automobile manufacturers of a country, the moment they have to export the goods, the first change is a left-hand drive. India is a right-hand drive country, very few in the world. The moment you have to export your automobile, you have to make it left-hand drive. So you see that itself is a slight change. You might have to change packaging, pricing, etc. So that involves a certain change in the marketing mix. You may have to take it at a national, different market level, most complex level, form. So here again, the complexity. Now, you can take a very complex international marketing decision wherein the firm itself starts the entire manufacturing facility, its own staff, office, etc. in a country where it is venturing into. That's a very advanced, very complex this thing. But at a base level, you think there is a market, you do not want to risk too much, you get into either a joint venture. You think you have a manufacturing ability, you have a solution to manufacture which you can pass it on. But let the selling and distribution be the local expert guy's job. So then joint venture. You may get into strategic alliances, something which is good in them, something that you have, you try to decide. You either acquire a company in there, and who has that power of distribution network, etc. You acquire, or you merge the company. You merge means you just fully take over and that company will no longer exist. But their assets and all will belong to you. So you are able to use them. Tie-ups, you can do franchisee. You see all this Pizza Huts and all this Domino's outlets suddenly sprouting up all across your city and worldwide is a result of a franchisee model. We will probably cover a little later. So that's being the definition of international marketing and what extremes that one can have and what are the ways that one can do. So after briefly understanding what the definition is all about, that definition was by American Marketing Association, it basic crux of it is that it's an international process, multinational process, like multiple nation process. Organization needs to mix all piece in a manner that would meet the or exceed the expectation of the customers in the local market, in that market which you want to enter. There are obviously there are two stakeholders. One is the customer and the organizations. So these two stakeholders continues to be there. However, one is to understand the consumer better. While in the international marketing, it's not that you just can have the same product being introduced. You need to really understand consumers, which supposedly the main crux of even any marketing, even national marketing. But there you need to be a little more careful. International marketing strategies can be based on either very various elements, which can be the brand, which can be the product designs, which can be product positioning and distribution or advertising. So same issues which you probably have in the national listing, you too will have to have the strategies. Now, either it may be same strategy may work for your international market, or you may have to carve a different strategy now, which could be on the positioning, which could be on the product, which could be on the distribution ways of effective or unique way of distribution, advertising, creativity, the message and all. So these are all encompassing aspects of a definition. There are other issues that one need to really be careful about or knowing about, knowledge about one should have when you talk about the international marketing, you know, definition, are the political, economic and technical factors. The definition, though may not directly use those words, it also refers to, because it says that marketing challenges into multiple nation means you have to look at the factors, like for which the PESTEL analysis that you may be aware of, those who probably are not aware can do the basic reading, but political, economical, social, technological, legal and environmental, this thing. That's what, you know, the factor analysis that one need to do. What is political situation there? What is economical situation there? Economic, and so to say, what is the, you know, so, social, this thing, cultural aspects out there. So that needs to be analyzed. So that's what I have been mentioning out here. Nation's major macro level factor, how that nation is placed when it comes to the macro indicators, whether the country is very stagnant, whether country is debt-ridden, country is developing, growing. So you see many economies are debt-ridden. So they are being pushed by other country to, you know, listen to them. While India is still a debt-free market, so India can stand on its own. So that's a power. Look at the various growth drivers that we have. These are all, use these terms as a growth drivers. Yani, why it is that so? Asia's GDP. Now, Asia is going to be the power of economic, you know, this thing, turnaround across the world. Developed nations are already stagnating. So Asia is offering a hope. IMF, that is International Monetary Fund, has projected that 1/3 of the world output is, that is, you know, going to come from Asian countries, which used to be only 20% in 1990. By 21-22, so to say, which is almost now, 203 Asian companies featured in the Fortune Global 500, as against only 116 who were there in 2001. So within 20 years, you see the jump that has come in regional cooperation, that is SAARC, that is going to come, which is already there. We will learn about this as we move forward in the second chapter. So this cooperation has reduced the trade barriers, you know, simplified the tariff, etc. So as a result, among the SAARC country, it is very easy to do the business. Consistent growth, yani India is growing at almost over 6.5, you know, even post COVID, we have projected our GDP to be 8.5. China is even lower than us, and world is even much more lower than that. So that being a picture, India's labor market is still economical, cheap, maybe, and economical. We have intelligent labor, we have a hardworking labor, we have a skilled labor. Skilled, this thing being driven since 2014. Now, significant number of skilled labor is available. Indian companies with international marketing focus will benefit also. The company who already have Aditya Birla Group, you see, even Mahindra has a lot of international footprints, etc. They are going to benefit. Okay, they are going to benefit because government is incentivizing. Even look at other way. Now there is a scheme that government of India has floated, PLI scheme, wherein you have to commit certain investment, you have to retain certain revenue, etc. Wherein they are allowing then, you know, priority setup and various other things, so that company can get that foreign fund, foreign technology, foreign partner quickly. Indian companies have mostly resorted to either acquisitions or invested in greenfield projects. So even that is solar projects or, you know, environmental friendly projects, etc. Or we have gone and acquired either the company abroad. So that, these are also such cases. So both ways, a few companies have given up themselves to large international firms so that they, you know, overall world benefits. So both things are happening. So that gives you a picture of growth, how the growth is driven in international marketing. So let's move on to section 1.4, which is essentially on the importance of international marketing and why it is needed. So essentially, it is established that developed countries' growth is going to be far slower than the emerging market. Asia is an emerging market. Look at China, the way India is growing, etc. Developing countries are becoming an emerging market, not because sheer chance or anything, but the population growth, but now the working class population who's having a disposable income is growing. And India especially is at a very advantageous position vis-a-vis China, where a lot of old people are there. So China is a burden of that, while the working class is to, you know, take the responsibility. We may also have similar scenario maybe 10, 20 years down the line. But today, that's a market of young workers available. Inside out strategy, if you see that company, when it goes out and expands the foothold, they not only acquire the economies of scale. The example of Tata Automobile is given. Likewise, Mahindra also has a few plants abroad, etc. So they are able to therefore source cheaper raw material. Technology infusions are possible. Today, the policy allows you to even import spare parts and all. You can tailor your promotion. You have a ability to tailor your promotion to meet the different markets. So like LG in Indonesia uses a totally a different promotion because various slangs or various language have certain meanings and certain ability to influence. So as a result, you may have to tweak your promotion to meet the local needs. So that's why, international marketing understanding is very critical. Sales promotions, you can really look at your sales promotions. Extensive sales promotion really can get you higher share, but you know, you need to do a lot of localizations. You will have to really understand what works for those people out there, whether percentage discount, whether something free, something additional volume, what works there. Offer an opportunity to implement out of box ideas. You can really do that if you are spread across the world, really. I mean, Siane. So here one example is given where one of the shoe company, and I am purposely probably not say naming it, but they did a campaign which was running across 19 countries because it's a global company, you know, global brand, where they pulled in people from different teams, etc., representing different part of the world, and they created a campaign called Now Is What You Make It. One must see this on a YouTube. You will see that power of a international campaign, how you too get influenced, allows you to have a country and region specific promotion also. So if you IPL is Indian Premier League being played in India, is a conceptualized in India, say played in India. So you see that a lot of power that we have versus many brands would like to utilize that power. So that gives you the real ability. So promotion scope is very wide. A lot of ideas can come in. Another feasibility of doing collective promotion is you can do a specific trade promotion. You can do specific industry promotion by taking help of local associations, local body. Like for example, India is promoting handloom in a big way across various countries. You look at the other promotion, Make in India, which is a flagship, this thing, though you may feel it is not, really got that kind of a lift, but various conditions happening across India are compelling various companies to think of entering India and start manufacturing themselves in India rather than any other part of the world. So Make in India is the initiative government where they encourage people to come and manufacture goods in India. International marketing benefits also the diversification. So when diversification means you can either same product take it to a different market or you use different product to enter the new market, etc. So company can produce another product altogether, create a category and tap the international market or specific country market. When you enter international market and you have a product spread, you have a brand spread, you have a market spread, etc., it protects you even from the domestic turmoil. So if there is anything happening unlikely to your company in a particular home country, you are still protected because your revenue will keep coming from the other part. So we now enter into understanding what is the scope of international marketing. How do you go about what it can entail for you? Once you start with this, you know, I will request in section 1.3, I have given you different sets of case slates and small companies introduction, wherein something which is outward in the major companies who have entered India. So it starts from Microsoft, Google to Sony and many other companies, examples are given. Same way many Indian companies, that is inside out, have ventured out. So Mahindra is one example, Tata is another example. There are pharmaceutical companies being referred, etc. So you should get that idea. So that will give you an idea of this particular section, scope of international marketing. So a developing market for domestically produced goods and service is the essential scope. Like you are in one particular place of the world. When you talk about international marketing means you want to explore more countries. So what it means, developing a market for domestically produced homegrown product, that's an international marketing. That's the scope level one. Understands the legal framework. The second most important challenge is to understand the legal framework that one need to really consider. We have many cases, friends, which is some of them are really pulling us back or pulling the foreign investor coming in. It is like if you see the Vodafone or rather for all the mobile operators fight with the government for the retrospective tax that has been imposed on them, which is an ongoing battle. Versus you see now that latest is the Future Group Reliance versus Amazon fight that is happening. One need to really get a clarity about legal framework. Walmart is therefore not entering full-fledged because there are certain inhibitions that they have about our ways of working. So entry-level approach, now you may take the first very basic level approach to starting your international business is through a very base level entry strategy called either you simply export. Now to export you need to either have an agent in that country or you're a buyer, which is a local distributor, etc., who is willing to buy from you. There are certain nuances about agents, this thing, etc., but right now that's not the critical things. You can get into a contract, so you have a manufacturing contract or a marketing contract. You get into a contract, essentially the manufacturing contract takes place. Marketing is generally through an export, either agent or a distributor framework that you take. Joint venture, you have a technology, you have a process skill, etc., but you need a manufacturing and a local selling skill set. So there is another partner that you find, you both enter into a joint venture, you pass on the technology and you pass on a process, he will look at production, selling, etc. So then you get into joint ventures. You can get into your own manufacturing, which is a full-fledged greenfield project that you establish in that country. Mergers, you either merge, two countries will merge themselves to create a third company out there, each will pull their strengths, acquisitions, that this company has a very strong office spread, they are present across in that country in say like 20 major cities of that country, they have a sales force of 5,000 members, sufficient enough to, take your product also to the distribution channel, etc. What you do, you acquire that country. When you acquire, you have those resource assets, people available to you. So that's an acquisition. You set up completely own manufacturing facility, as I told you earlier also. We are giving a reverse incentive. So there's a Make in India project is in inviting other manufacturers to come in our country. Advantage, growth in economy, more employment opportunity, more funds comes in. Strategic alliances, you can get into certain alliances. Alliances are a kind of a contract also, but they are for a certain strategic purpose. So they are strategic purpose to protect or outbid the competitors, etc. Or creating your footprints and protecting your own interest. So that licensing and a franchising is a strategic alliance. Domino's cannot themselves invest in opening 600 outlets across country, etc. So they call what you call franchisee. So there are investors who are ready to invest. Domino's will give the brand, will give the process, will train the people, etc. And that's how you do the business. So that's the strategic alliances. Okay. So you hope you understood the scope. We move into 1.6, which is impact of domestic policy in international market. Now, international market has lot of policy related issues. So we will try to get some basic understanding about it. Now, policy means what is the policy of India as a country to encourage international business by their businessmen going outside or outside businessmen wants to come in India. So there are various set of policies, as you say, that's what it means. It can cover few aspects like this, what has been mentioned out here. You may have certain entry level restrictions or one window support. So there are two extremes. You either create an entry level restriction. So like for example, insurance, media, till now, there was restrictions, not more than 26% of the equity can be purchased by the external investor. So as a result, they do not get the management power. So as a result, they cannot really control your Indian operation. So there were many companies who still wanted India as a market but couldn't enter. While now you see the change from a bureaucratic setup to a one window appeasement. So you want more people to come in. So you simplified entry level, this thing part. Then comes the tariff. What is your level of tariff? So are you charging 2% or are you charging 20%? Are you charging only import duty, or there is something like a custom duty and various other these things? So what are those tariff structures? Does when your goods transfer from one state to the other state, what is it? So that those aspects come into picture. The business practices, whether the business practices when you say, it encompasses strategic aspects, the people availability, the resource availability, etc., the way of doing business, etc. So those are the things they look at it very minutely. Legal systems, whether our system is legal friendly or results are there, protects the interest of investors or not, etc. So those aspects, whether your IP, intellectual property right, or whether your patent is protected out there, or that will not be protected. So those are the issues which come in. Competitive restrictive policy. Is there a framework which looks at the restrictive practices followed by the competition and raises the appropriate level of action? So that will ensure fair play, so to say. Investment restrictive policy. Is there any? So as I told you the earlier example, certain percentage of equity, etc. Now they have allowed. Now it is almost up to 76% can be invested. So that's a one aspect. Corporate structures. Corporate tax structure is generally happens after the profit is generated. So what is that government trying to retain for the country and allows the investor to pass it on to him, which is a fund flowing outside your country? So there are those aspects that one need to see it. Foreign fund transfer. So even then, if there are any restrictions, the way the fund transfer is allowed, etc. So those are the various aspects that one need to cover when it comes to international marketing policy. Thank you very much.